Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Marty Oakley of the PPJ Gazette Online, and this is TS Radio. And we are broadcasting live. Extra effort to get here. Welcome to the show, everybody. Good evening, everyone. It's Thursday night, and you know what that means. It's time for Whistleblowers, and Whistleblowers is brought to you in coordination with Marcel Reed and the Whistleblower Summit, happening annually in Washington, D.C., usually at the very end of July, in celebration of the first Whistleblowers Act being passed. And we need more whistleblower protections passed that actually have some meat to them. Our guest tonight has been with us before. She was with us originally back in May of 2016, and this lady fought a battle that will knock your socks off. She took this all the way to the Supreme Court and actually wrote a book about it called Fighting the Giant, and she slew the giant. With that, please welcome Sheila White to the show. Sheila, thank you so much for coming back on.
And thank you for inviting me.
Yes, yes. One of the things we're going to do tonight, first off, I want you to give everybody that might be new to your story some background on it and what happened, how you got to the Supreme Court and why you got there. And then what we want to go into is this how to protect yourself at work, especially in these situations, because this was key to you winning your case. And for those who might be new to the topic and to your story, just give them a little bit of background.
Okay. My name is Sheila White, and I had worked for Burlington Northern Santa Fe Railroad here in Memphis, Tennessee. I was hired as a forklift driver. But once I complained, that's when the wheels started turning, where they fired me about three or four times, but they had no reason for firing me, and they had to bring me back. And what I'm going to discuss tonight is that how you protect your rights in the workplace. Let me go back and let you say that I was the only woman in my department, and the men weren't used to a woman working in that department. So they did everything they could to force me out. But I did not leave. I told them that I had to make a living just like them. They said
good
the railroad wasn't a place for a woman. So like I said, I had to tell them that I had to make a living just like them. So I stood my grounds in the workplace. So once they found out that they could not get rid of me, they demoted me from a forklift operator to working on the railroad tracks. Again, I stood my grounds. So it got so serious where the supervisors and employees, my coworkers, did no longer want me to work there. So what I did was document it. That's your number one key. I documented from day one when I saw I had problems. I documented who was around me, what was said, date and time. And you do not document it on the job. You try to remember that and take it home and start doing your journal of documentations, because that's very important, documentation. So if it ever reached that level, you have proof. And another thing, make sure someone is around you for a witness. They may not want to be a witness, but you can use their name where they are forced to say what they have heard. So that's very important to do. So I fought a long battle, but I followed procedures as I thought they were right. And so far, they were right.
Uh-huh.
So that's the most important thing. When you're having problems on the job, fight for your right. You do have protection in the workplace. And you do have them on the inside of the workplace and the outside. From me winning my Supreme Court case, they broadened the case. They broadened the rules and laws where you can't be retaliated, discriminated, or any form of harassment in the workplace.
Sheila, let me ask you what you... One of the things I've noted in dealing with the whistleblowers, and many of them who have left their positions, of course, because of the retaliation, harassment, I mean, the pressure becomes so terrible. They gaslight them. They destroy them financially. They make emotional wrecks out of them. They make sure they can't get employment anywhere else. How did you avoid it? I know you didn't avoid it totally, but how did you avoid it, and to what extent did they go to try and shut you up?
The extent, can you clarify that a little more when you said what extent they did to try to hush me up?
Yeah, what did they do to you, like, while you were still working there, and then after you left and you have filed this lawsuit, okay? And you filed it. Did they ever come after you after that? Did they try to antagonize you, intimidate you?
They didn't. They didn't try to antagonize me. But during the time they antagonized me, harassed me, and forced me on jobs that I would get hurt or killed, that's more of it when it comes to that. I experienced all that during the time I worked. But I never left. They just made me stronger to stay, to fight to stay. Because I didn't wish that on nobody else who would come there, especially a woman.
Exactly. So. And what was that, Sheila, where did and I've heard this from the forestry women, other women that have, you know, gotten into different fields, that somehow these are men's jobs and women should not be allowed in them. And on the other hand, they're saying, oh, we do these jobs and that's why we get paid more, and you can't do these jobs because you're just a woman. Then when you show up and do it, then they're mad.
Yes. You know,
then
and
they're
a
mad.
A woman can do a man's job, but men needs help in the workplace as well as the women.
Right.
If they work together, they could, it would be better, but they refuse to help a woman because they feel like she shouldn't be in that field anyway. But don't get encouraged, women, because we can do the job. We got to learn how to work together and support each other if it's more than one woman on the job. So it's very important. And if you happen to be the only woman on the job, do your best.
And oh, always.
Don't be ashamed to ask for help.
Wow. Did any of you, and I was trying to think from our last interview, you said it wasn't the whole crew turned on you. There were some people that tried to support you, weren't there?
Yes, ma'am. I had about five men that supported me, but their supporting was outside of work.
Mm-hmm.
They wouldn't talk or support me on the job because they had been there like 30 years. So they didn't want to lose their job or get involved in my situation. So they always kept me a step ahead what was going on.
Wow. That had to have been some comfort to you anyway, just to know that you weren't totally isolated. And I do, and I hope this isn't asking too much, but I do want you to tell our audience again about that event with the flashlight, because I think that is probably one of the most god-awful things I have ever heard done to a woman employee, and to think that this person got away with it.
Yes, the very first day I got hired, it was 6-7 of us that got hired. They were all men and just me, one woman. And the very first day, we just learned our foreman's name, so he was introducing all of us, asking us to say our name. So after we introduced ourselves to each other, he said, well, Sheila, he said it out loud, he said, Sheila, when you come on your period, let us know so we can make your job lighter. I saw it was a problem right there, number one.
Oh, wow.
Because he didn't even know me, and he just learned my name. And then it was a derailment incident one night where we were all called out like about 2 o'clock in the morning, a.m., and I was the first one there. And he came on the job, and he was intoxicated, and he asked me to come over because I had a flashlight in my hand that time of the morning. It's dark. And
right.
The derailment is where all the trains fall off the track, turn over. So he asked me to shine a flashlight on him while he peed. So all the men knew that was a no-no, and they turned around and walked away.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
So,
he better be glad it was you he asked to hold that flashlight and not me. My reaction might have been just a little bit different. I don't know how you kept your composure. And if nothing else, I'd have busted out laughing and said, is that all there is? Anyway, what do you need a light for that for?
Well, I was shocked. I was shocked I was shocked. I couldn't believe nothing that was coming out of his mouth.
Yeah. And he just pretty well zoned in on you initially, didn't he? I mean, he just came right after you. Yeah.
Yes, yes.
And let me ask you, what happened to him as a result of all this? What happened to him?
Well, after I filed my first charge, that was sexual harassment because he had been harassing me every day. Do I know of any black and whites that go to bed together? He did not let down off of that. And I said, I need to do something. So I went and talked to Human Resource. They thought it was a joke. They started laughing, you know, and the news spread from Chicago down to Dallas, Texas. Thought it was a joke. So they interviewed the men, and I did have the men stood behind me. They said, yes, that happened.
Wow.
So things kept on going on with the flashlight, and they vouched for me on that. So what they did, gave him a 10-day suspension after they investigated, found he was guilty. And he came back, and they put me right back up under him, and I went and filed another charge.
Oh, jeez.
Yes.
Well, so, what was the railroad's response to all of this?
Actually, they act like this is something that never happened before.
Yes.
And they actually didn't take it serious. They thought it was a joke.
Well, if it had been done to their daughter or wife, I wonder if they'd have thought it was funny.
They thought it was funny, yes. And then they sent a roadmaster up from Louisiana to handle me because nobody seems that they could handle me.
Oh.
And, yes, and so they were remodeling. We had safety meeting. We all were sitting down. Of course, I was the only woman, probably out of 300 men this day, in safety meeting. He said, oh, Sheila, by the way, we're not billing the woman's bathroom, but you could select any potty you want, pocket, polka dot, pink, or purple. Is your choice. And I think I got strong that day.
Gee, many Christmas.
I got strong that day when he said that because everybody in there said, whoa, you know. And I said, Roadmaster, you're going to give me respect. I said that I do not play those games. Now, when your wife visit, we could decide which color of potty we will use when she visit. He never said nothing else to me.
That's what I say. And these guys, you know, and talking to these women from forestry, you know, they were married and everything. But a lot of the men that harassed them and molested them and sometimes raped them were also married. And what in the world did their wives think when this came out? If I was with someone, you know, regardless of the relationship status, if I was with someone and I found out they were treating women this way on the job, I'd have, when I left, they'd have been a lady, but I would have left. And you just wonder what happened in their lives behind that. And I was Sheila, something I don't understand is the number of women who will gang up on another woman who reports something like this, because you're making it hard for all of us. No, stand up, you damn fools. You know, the same thing's happening to you. You know it is. And I don't understand that. When always of curiosity to me about your case has been the fact that you did get to the Supreme Court and you won a 9-0 opinion on that. I would have loved to have been there, Sheila, to see the, the expression on the opposition's face when that ruling came down. I would have given anything to see what was their reaction.
Mad. You talking about mad. Burlington Northern brought in at least like 10 lawyers from everywhere, from Chicago, Texas, out of my three.
Oh,
they
wow.
brought in 10 heavy waiters.
Uh-huh.
Yes, they did. And I don't mean to cut you off, but you said about you wonder what the wives would have said about all this going on.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they wanted to find out who Sheila White was, so they all came out there bringing their husbands to work and wanted to see who was this lady that was keeping up all this confusion out there with their husbands against their husbands. So they made a special trip out there to find out who I was.
Did you run up and introduce yourself, Sheila?
They knew who I was. I was the only woman. They saw me.
Right.
Yes. And I used to tease some of the coworkers and say, "Is somebody looking for me?" Somebody always. I mean, you had people from coming out of town to see who was Sheila White.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Well, you're a star, and I didn't know it.
Well, they say I am. I don't know. I can't feel it. but that is a serious thing. Women shouldn't be feared. Men will make you cry, make you break down, but they never saw me cry or sweat.
Good for you.
Because I took care of my business when I left there, documenting everything. I even documented if it was raining, snowing, or sunshine.
Good for you. And that's
so
exactly, like I say, that's what won your case, was that journaling absolutely everything, right down to the weather.
Yes. And if you notice that a lot of people now using that, always document.
Yep.
They're really expressing that now because, you know, they see how important it is.
Yep. Sheila, did they ever come to you before this ever got to, like, well, let's just say when it's going to be heard by the Supreme Court, did they ever come to you and try to settle this out of court with you?
No, because it was peanuts, and they didn't want me to have nothing. If it was 10 cents, they didn't want me to have nothing. They wanted to strip me, period. They didn't want my name on nothing or attached to anything. And they even had the post for 5 years in every building and on that railroad saying what they did to me by EEOC.
Oh, my God. What did EEOC do?
Well, EEOC, I'm going to tell you another thing. If you file with EEOC, they might turn you down the first time. Keep on going and filing. Don't give up. Because if you feel you got a strong case, you got to file with EEOC first.
Mm-hmm.
For them to give you the rights to go out and get an attorney, or they feel like they can handle the case. But
wow.
They didn't handle my case. They gave me a right to sue.
Wow.
And being honest, I think they kind of messed up.
Yeah.
After they
saw
it
backfired, didn't
case.
It?
Yes. Yes, it did. Yes.
Wow. That just, oh, holy crap, holy crap. How did they argue the case in the Supreme Court? Behind this documentation that you had kept and the
mm-hmm.
fact that you had exhausted, you know, all your state-level remedies, you'd gone through the chain of command there and did everything and got to the Supreme Court, that had to have rocked them back on their heels to begin with. But while you're in that courtroom, how could they conceivably argue against you? What did they say? What did they do?
Burlington Northern argued with me because they feel they made me whole. Every time they fired me, they'll bring me back and had to pay me. But it didn't
uh-huh.
work right like that with the justices. And especially the justices, the Justice Scalia, the one
uh-huh.
that passed.
Yes.
He stood his ground with Burlington mm-hmm. Northern.
Uh-huh.
I mean, against Burlington, how they did me on the job. And so, my lawyer, they the one were doing a big iron because they were reversing me. They didn't
uh-huh.
want me to win that case. So,
oh,
my lawyer
right.
said what they had to say. And so, they really, I could see they were leaning toward me.
Mm-hmm.
The justices, you know, because of the
yeah.
question. They were
right.
asking how they were responding.
Right.
So I had that feeling they were leaning toward me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because it takes a couple of months before the decision come down. That happened in
right.
April, and the decision came down June.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I got hired on the 21st of June. And my Supreme Court case I won came in on the 22nd of June. Isn't that
imagine
something?
That. Yeah.
Yeah.
What a coincidence. What a coincidence.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Wow. And and I'm not going to ask you the amount, but you came out well on that, didn't you? I mean, considering everything.
Yes, ma'am. I did.
Good for you. Good for you. You know, Sheila, I guess my problem with all this is, excuse me, if you saw that series, and I at the time had cable, and I don't have it now, but Mad Men, and
yeah.
It was about the advertising business in the 60s, late 50s, and in the 60s, and how women were treated in the workplace. And here you're looking 60 years later,
and
has nothing changed?
Nothing's
changed.
Nothing
you know?
Hasn't changed at all. Nothing.
What bothers me, Sheila, is that what has changed is you find women more compliant, more willing to go along with it, and more willing to be a part of it. That, to me, is upsetting.
Yeah.
And the excuse always being, well, I need my job. I got my kids. I got this. We all got lives we've got to take care of. But you don't sacrifice your dignity and your self-respect. And think you're going to come out ahead. You're not. And,
right.
you know, that paycheck might last for a while, but pretty soon something else will come along and you'll be out the door. Do you think they learned anything from your case? I mean, do you think anything changed? And my gut feeling is the only thing that might have changed at that railroad is they aren't hiring any more women. do you think anything has changed?
Personally, no. I think
yeah.
things still the same because I'm still getting emails from women and from Seattle all over asking me for help.
Wow.
And, what they should do. They've been
yeah.
fired. And so a lot of them are afraid to even go out on that limb.
Yeah.
And some of them are going through that. So I do communicate once. You know, somehow they
yes.
get in contact with me. So
mm-hmm.
They hadn't changed a bit.
Yeah.
I don't know what it's going to take in the workplace and definitely in the workplace where a lot of males are. But They're going to have to learn to work with us and respect us.
Well, yeah, but see, Sheila, you know, here we talked about this a little bit, you know, before, and that is that this thing about, well, men have this job and they get paid way more because you can't do this job. And you know, and you're downed for that. And then when you walk in and you not only can do the job, many times you can do it, if not as well, better. Because women are just more logical, methodical about what they do and not so easily distracted. And so then they get angry about that. I heard this from these women in forestry. You know, they went in, they were, I mean, some of these women had credentials that were just enviable for the jobs that they were in and should have been promoted, should have been over the top of their male counterparts, but couldn't get that promotion. Couldn't, because they were female, and then their coworkers are angry because they're there and they shouldn't be there. Now, you need to make up your mind. Either women shouldn't be in these jobs, but and then I liken it to this. If a man takes a job equivalent to, let's say, secretarial, then you pay him what you pay that woman to do that job.
Right.
But when we see men go into offices where they're basically acting in a secretarial capacity, they're called assistants and this and that, but they're secretaries is all they are. But they'll be making half again what their women counterpart are making. And this inequality in that inequitable division between, based on gender of all things. And I'm going to tell you the truth, Sheila, till the last few years, as I have aged gracefully, I might say, but I'm just saying, I could work circles around any man I ever saw. I could all day long work. And while they sweat and groaned and moaned, I was still hitting it. And I've seen many, many women like that. The stamina is far greater. But it has to do with how a woman thinks. She thinks more methodically, more strategically. And I do believe that. Men are reactive. And they react to what's happening in the 5 seconds preceding where they're standing right now, where women are projecting ahead and planning, well, if I do this, then that's going to happen. We need to get this done, and then that has to be done, and things have to happen in an orderly fashion. And that comes, I believe, from being a woman and your natural instinct to manage a household, children, the laundry, the dishes, the cooking, the bills, and everything else that goes on. It's a natural talent, and it is grossly underutilized. And men just don't, for the most part, have this. But it's just, it's a biological difference. It's a gender difference. But if you can do that job as well or better than a man, you damn well should be getting paid for that. And I know damn well you never asked anybody to hold a flashlight so you could pee.
No, ma'am.
You knew where all your stuff was, didn't you?
That's right.
It just, you know, and here you got this grown man that apparently doesn't know where his, you know, what it's even doing. And then when you talked about this in the Supreme Court, what was their reaction to this?
Okay, you know what? That is so strange because a lot of stuff didn't come out in Supreme Court, and then that comes out in district court when you're trying to prove your case.
Okay.
The lower courts.
Okay.
Supreme, they don't go that far. In lower courts, they do. And I had a problem with that. I had a problem with that because they thought he was just a little old man and didn't know what he was saying. I found out that at the very end, when my trial was over. And I was very disappointed because he knew what he was doing and he knew what he was saying.
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
So well.
The jury felt sorry for him. Yes.
Felt sorry for him, huh? But he went right back to work, didn't he?
And he got up on the stand and said and agreed that he did that. Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Jesus. And he's... Okay, so you're in the lower courts. What's happening there that got you to the Supreme Court?
The lower court, I won in lower court. Burlington did not. We appealed it because Burlington did not. Wait a minute. I won in district court, federal court, and Burlington contested it. They appealed it. And then it went to the Tennessee Supreme Court. And they got held up, and then they agreed I won that, and Burlington decided to take it to Supreme Court. They the one took it to Supreme Court, so Supreme Court accepted it. They reversing me. I filed a charge suit against them, but I won each one, but they appealed it where it went all the way to the Supreme Court.
Wow. I have a question someone wants to ask you, and that is, hang on here, if I can get this pulled up here, it says, please ask Sheila if she thinks in the current climate any woman can be elected president.
In the current climate? Yes.
Yeah. In the, see, I do
yes,
too.
Yes, I do. I do. I do. And I wish many are wrong, too.
Mm-hmm. I've thought about it myself, but I got the perfect face for radio. But I do think it's time for a woman president now, and I know this is going to upset a great many people. The candidate we had was not at all suitable. I tracked that woman for 20 years, and there is I voted for me, Sheila. And it's the only thing I could do. I wrote me in, but I was so terrified of her getting in, knowing her track record, knowing what she did, that I could actually document and track over a 20-year period. That woman absolutely terrified me. But I think if a woman of stature and a woman of character were to run, and of course, if one tries to, they will do whatever they can to destroy her.
Yes.
They will destroy her character. They will plant stories about her. Things will pop up out of the woodwork, out of nowhere, with no documentation or resourcing. You know what we do to women when it looks like they're going to get ahead.
Yes.
Of course, a man can do the same things, and oh, for heaven's sakes, that's just internet gossip. But if it's about a woman, and I have waited, I don't know about you, but my whole life for a woman to be a viable candidate for president.
Yes.
There is no reason a woman should not have a viable chance to be president in this country. But it cannot be someone who is part of the political machinery that's taking us apart. And I just don't see that at all. Sheila, in all of this, and it may seem unrelated, but to me, it's very much related. We have them bringing in all these people on these HB1 and HB5 visas that are taking a lot of high-paying American jobs. And now many Republicans want to increase that. And we have, 60% of our college graduates cannot find work in the field they got a degree on. This is going to adversely affect women.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that always stands out from my own past was many years ago when I was a young woman and my children were small and I was newly divorced. I was working at a plastics plant in Fairburn, Georgia. Glass Rock Products, in fact, is still there. And an opening came up in the R&D department, and I had done a lot of work with them, and I don't have anything but a high school education, but I always have had a general curiosity about things. And I would make suggestions and everything, and got a couple of little, bonuses for design changes I suggested and things like that. Well, an opening came up in research and development. Well, the people in research and development put in to have me transferred in there, and they wanted to train me. 2 weeks later, there's this new guy working in there. Come to find out, he has no experience with plastics, which was relatively new at the time. We did all kinds of things there. And In fact, they based everything on how they did worked metallurgy. And so, but I was making different things on how to stop having so many waste products, you know, and it was just related to baking. You know what happens when you pull a hot cookie sheet out of the oven? A lot of times it'll warp because of the thermal shock. And so we were losing a lot of product because of this exactly. So anyway, I was making suggestions about that, which worked out quite well and saved them a lot of money. Like I say, about it, maybe 2 weeks later, here's this guy in there. So I stopped one of the guys from R&D and I said, who's that? Oh, that's the new guy he hired. He doesn't know anything. I went straight, Sheila, to the personnel office. And I said, why didn't I get that job? They requested that I be transferred in there. And I was told by the personnel officer, well, Marty, he's got a family to take care of.
Oh my goodness.
I said, excuse me, what are my children, puppies? And he looked at me, he goes, well, see, yeah, but he's got a family to take care of. I said, so do I. Well, you know, that's a job better suited for a man. And I quit after that. But this discrimination has gone on forever, that somehow his family was more valuable than mine because he was a man and I was a woman. And this idea that somehow they hold more value, they should be paid more, and because you sit down to pee, you should be paid less. And I'm just really tired of that. I don't know about you. This thing of you winning in the Supreme Court, see, that to me, that's like a personal victory. I wasn't there. I don't have any part in it. But you winning this, to me, that's just you struck a blow for women everywhere.
Yeah, but it's not enough. We just got to all, us women got to stand up and fight for our rights. And we don't lose. But at the end, we are all game because we're standing up for our rights. It can't be some and a handful. We got to be a fistful in order for this to work right, because it's getting worse and worse.
It is. It is. And I, Sheila, to me, the fact that it is getting worse and worse is related to the fact that we have all these illegal people coming in who are taking jobs. And I remember I became infuriated when, I believe it was Dirty Harry Reid, stood up and said, they're doing jobs Americans won't do. And I thought, what? You know, and then he said, who's going to clean our toilets and mow our lawns? Well, I'm mowing my own lawn, cleaning my own toilet. What the hell are you talking about? And who's going to work in the hotels? I worked in hotels changing beds, cleaning rooms. But it wasn't that it's jobs that Americans wouldn't do. It's jobs they couldn't get.
Right.
Because of all of these people coming in and who are working for substandard wages. And the people they're bringing in over $1 million a year that are taking the higher paying jobs. And again, about 90% of these are men. And we've got women college graduates who've got a far better education, but they don't get those jobs.
That's right.
It's like you say, it's just getting worse and worse. And I see women try to band together. I think one of the problems that happens, but I think it happens in every, when you try to organize, it happens, is that the infighting begins.
Correct.
And you see people do more to destroy their own movement by the infighting and the attacking one another instead of standing up united and saying, okay, we've got some disagreements here and there, but we'll keep those private. But this is our united message. Then I watched this last election good Lord, I don't even know what to say about it. I just don't know what to say about it.
I
go ahead.
No, I'm saying I don't either. I'm just frustrated, upset, mad. And you see discrimination and retaliation and sexual harassment come out every day.
Yes. Yes.
On TV.
Yep.
And it needs to be something done about it.
Well, see, yeah. I have a theory. I have a theory, Sheila. And you can agree with me or not, but this is my theory. Men were never supposed to run the world. They were built to do the grunt work. That's why they're bigger and stronger than we are. And women were intended to do the thinking and the managing and the, you know, planning.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as they figured out they could overpower a woman, everything got turned upside down.
Mm-hmm.
And until we take men out of the equation and let the women do what they were put here to do, and it wasn't to step and fetch for a man. I'm sorry, I don't care. We were put here, I believe, to manage things. That's our natural instinct, our natural ability. And I think a lot of men recognize that and are threatened by that. And, I mean, just imagine, Sheila, on your job, if with this same man, you had walked up and exposed your breast to him. Imagine what would have happened.
Oh, I would have been fired and no telling what else if he wanted to bring charges against me.
Yep.
Or the company bringing charges against me.
Yeah.
Yes, they get away with a lot.
Yep.
Yes.
And, but, if you'd have done the same thing, you know what I'm saying to you, if you'd have made these sexual overtures to them, if you'd have, exposed yourself, if you'd have, and we hear this stuff all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you hear it all over the place of what's going on in these companies. And like I say, I know that series Mad Men, they tried to keep it off the air because it was an actual representation of not only what was happening in the 50s and 60s. And there was supposed to, as I understand it, have been a subsequent series showing today's workplace and how things had really not changed. And, only the names and the actors might have. And, but it's still going on. It's still going on. And I think what upsets me, Sheila, is to see these young women who will go to work. They look like hoochies.
Yes.
They look like they should be working a corner.
Yeah.
And, well, if you, why are you going to?
Holes.
Yeah. Why are you going to work dressed like, well, that's the way they want me to dress? Haven't you got any sense? And, you know, that old thing about dress for the job you want? What exactly are you wanting?
Right.
I mean, you know what I'm saying.
They forgot how to dress, yes, ma'am.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. To go in there at least with a suit on and hair well groomed and look well groomed, but not today.
Mm-hmm.
No,
yeah.
We don't look like that today. So you basically I don't know what done happened. I mean, things just done changed. No respect for each other or anything.
No. And one of the things, too, we've discussed on so many of the other shows, Sheila, about things, just stay the same, is of course, the racial discrimination and divide. I was talking with Lawrence Lucas the one night, and he made a statement. He said, Marty, it's still there. It's just more sophisticated. And and it's the same thing for women in the workplace. The harassment, the intimidation, the unwarranted sexual overtures, the gross remarks, everything. They just do it a little different. They just do it a little different.
Yeah.
A little more careful about where and when.
Right. And you just brought up about racial, discrimination.
Uh-huh.
And I experienced that on the railroad.
Oh, wow.
Up and down Arkansas, Missouri. Well, I had a police officer that asked me to be careful coming out at night because the KKK was on the rise, for a highway being named Rosie Park.
Really?
I was shut out of bathrooms all up and down Arkansas State Line Road. This is working on the railroad. They refuse for me to use the bathroom. But you want me to buy your food? I need a place to wash my hands.
Gee, Monique.
By law. So I've run across all of that. Yes,
when
ma'am.
When did that happen, Sheila?
Back
when did that happen?
In 2001.
Really?
Yes. I worked in Toronto, and my former asks. We walk in Burger King, and he asked me, "Did I mind him sitting by me?" And you know, the others, the whites, they looked at me, and they got up and walked out.
Really?
Yes, ma'am. It's here. It's not going anywhere. I don't see anything happening. It done got worse.
Christmas.
So it's still going on, being shut in and out of bathrooms, using the public bathrooms.
Rent Is that in. Right?
Yes,
I'd have kicked that damn door in.
I understand, because one of the country store we went to, and to get our lunch, and I asked the young lady, may I wash my hand because I wanted to buy a sandwich? She said, we don't have bathrooms for you. I said, what? I said, the law is anywhere you selling hot food, you need to wash your hands. And then we had exchanged some words. Everybody that was in line behind me laid their food down and walked out the store.
Oh, wow.
Yes, ma'am.
Good
so
for them.
It's in Arkansas and Cape Girardeau.
Oh,
yes.
I've been there.
Missouri.
I've been there.
Yes.
Yes. I'll be done.
Yes. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe that I was being shut out of restrooms. So it is
wow.
here. It is here. Yes.
Oh, wow. That is just unbelievable that would be happening in this space and time.
Yes, ma'am, because I experienced it on the railroad also by you calling the men boys, and they used to, they've been there and trained you, your daddy, and your son, and everybody else in the family. But you still calling this man old enough to be your granddaddy boy.
Jeez. Oh.
Yes, ma'am, and they said they still doing it out there.
Good
to
God.
The ones that hadn't died out yet.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am. So, and that same man that taught your whole generation of how to work on the railroad.
Too many Christmas.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, I can remember, Sheila, when I lived in Georgia, which has been back in the, I think we moved there in 73. I left there in 82. And, but I remember driving down the road there. I had never seen a chain gang before.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one of the most humiliating things I had ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
And those men working, and there wasn't a white man on that line.
Mm-hmm.
And they were up on horseback with a shotgun. And I don't know where they thought those men were going with those chains on them, but that was the first time. And, you know, it was just maybe, I think, 10, 15 years ago, they outlawed the chain gangs. And but a lot of times they worked the railroad lines. And they would be out there from dusk till dawn. What I'm saying is long, extreme days. And I remember being stopped alongside of one time, stopped in traffic. And hearing this man have to ask and call the man boss, could he use the bathroom?
Mm-hmm.
Having to ask permission to use the bathroom.
Yes.
And I don't understand what happens in the human mind or in some human minds where this becomes an acceptable way of conducting yourself. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
The man on the horseback is the one I'm talking about, the one with the gun.
Right.
When did you decide this behavior was okay and that you'd take part in it? What happened to you? And yet they'll all show up in church, Sheila.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, they'll all show up in church. A lot of them won't wear their sheet to shirt, but to church. But they'll all show up in church. They're all big Christians, yes, sir. And it just, I don't know.
Very disturbing. Very disturbing.
Yeah. It is. It is. What behind all of this, and I remember I got some correspondence from a group of, and it was women workers, after I'd had you on the show the first time. Can you talk about them a little bit?
Women workers, you must be talking about Pride in a Paycheck.
Yes, yes, yes.
Oh, okay, Sue Doro, yes. Pride in a Paycheck, I spoke at their convention. And
good
these women are, yes, all of them are in their iron workers. They in all the fields from construction, bridge work, and they have a union. And they are strong. They are really strong, and I like that. So they do all the heavy work and stuff. They have gone to school, or what you call it, trade schools, and learned how to be a welder or, you know, working on a railroad, truck drivers. And it was very exciting. I learned a lot when I went to that convention. Yes.
Good for you. Yeah. I just missed seeing you, I guess, there in D.C. You had been there the day before I got there. And so I had really had hoped to meet you and several other people. I met so many people there, but you had been there the day before, so I didn't get to meet you in person. But I will be there this next year. And and I'm going to come early, girlfriend.
Yes, ma'am, because I've had a call to ask me, will I be one of the speakers? And I told them I didn't mind.
Yep, good. And because, like I said, I'm going to be going early this next time. It was, for me, that was my first time there. It was a little much for me. I live out here in the middle of cornfields and cows. And all that traffic, all those people. Yes. And they all drive like they're on crack cocaine. And they you know, you get out there in that traffic, thank God I wasn't driving, we'd probably still be having a wreck out there. And but it was an experience I had always wanted to see. Washington, D.C., you know, I mean, it's just one of those things you think about over your lifetime. You want to go to the Capitol and you want to see it. You want to see, you know, everything. And it, for me, was overwhelming. And I think it's because I live rurally. And, you know, I have to drive 20 miles any direction to get anywhere. Which is fine with me. I like those cows out there. And I am going to come early this next year. And because there's people like you I wanted to meet. And I don't want to be so pressed for time like we were this time, just because my stay there was so brief. And I want to be able to meet and talk to people, you know. And so it just, I just don't know, Sheila. As women, too many times I think we're discounted intentionally. And I don't know about you, but I take I get a sense of satisfaction because I tend to be a little bit short now these days. My grandkids say if I keep shrinking, I'll be Yoda by the time I'm 80. But the men who try to talk down to me, or outward smith me, you know, well, you'd have to stay up nights. And you know what I'm saying? But it still goes on. And and the resentment that you pick up from men, that you might be, I don't mean even equal, but able to carry on a conversation with them because they're this or they're that or they're something else. And, you know, and when people start announcing their titles and things to me, I always tell them I'm, you know, Miss America, but you just, nobody told you. And, you know, it just doesn't mean anything to me. And, but it was a different experience. And the best part of it for me was I got to meet Marcel in person. And after all of our conversations and everything. And I'll tell you, that's the only reason I would make a second trip is just to see her again. And
me. We go.
Yes,
see
and you.
Yes.
Yes. If you've got some other ladies like on your in that group, you know, Pride in a Paycheck, that have stories to tell like this, I'd like to hear from them where they went through the,
yeah,
you know, where they went through the process and fought this on the job, ended up losing their job or being forced to quit, you know, because it becomes so bad. I think this really needs to be brought to the forefront. Your story alone, the fact that you got to the Supreme Court of all places and won.
Yeah. That was a great feeling because I was preached to and taught from the beginning of my case near the end, saying nobody never beat the railroad and you are not going to beat the railroad, so you're wasting your time. This is a repeated thing, a broken record. So that made me feel good when I won.
Did you jump up and holler, Sheila? I would have jumped up and went yin and yin and yin.
But, you know, we need a strong woman's movement to get moving. We need a strong women's, and we all got to be in there together.
Yes.
And this I'm talking about from nationwide.
Exactly.
Nationwide.
But the problem, see, we defeat ourselves because immediately somebody decides they're queen and they're running everything and I'm going to tell you what to do. And if you're doing something else, well, then you can't be in the group anymore. And you know what I'm saying? Get over this childish crap. You know, this ain't junior high. The upshot of it is going to be, we're going to be continued to be discriminated against, cheated out of an equal paycheck, treated like you were treated on the job. And stay focused on what's happening and, you know, park your ego at the door and work together. That's the only way this is going to happen. I was glad to see that group jump in behind you there and support you. I saw they wrote so many glowing things about you, which gave you an exposure that I don't think you would have gotten otherwise, because nobody wanted anybody to know this had happened. You know what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? Nobody wanted anybody to know this.
Because they tell them, don't mention my name.
Yep.
Anybody that get hired at Burlington and they mention my name, they're allowed to get fired.
Yes. And then another comment here is a unanimous Supreme Court decision. Less than 1 in 50 cases result in that verdict. That is just absolutely incredible. Incredible. But you know what I think the message was they finally got? You weren't going to quit.
No, ma'am.
I mean, you just were not going to quit. And bless your heart for hanging in there. Sheila, our hour is up. I swear I could just talk to you forever about everything.
Yes, ma'am. I enjoyed sharing.
Yes, and I enjoyed having you on.
Yes, ma'am. And I thank you.
Yes, I thank you too. And like Sheila said, document everything. If this starts on your job, you document who's working with you, what time of day it was, what was said, who said it, who witnessed it, what the weather was, if the phone rang. I mean, everything. Document it. Because that's what won her case for her. We're down to less than a minute here. Sheila, thank you so much for coming on this evening. I truly enjoyed this. And ladies out there, you need to look up this case and look up the book. Sheila, how can they get a hold of you if they'd like to?
They can email me at swhite50@yahoo.com.
Okay. That's swhite50@yahoo.com. Okay.
Yes.
And ladies, if you got a story, this would be the lady to go to. She can guide you. I want to thank everybody for tuning in this evening. This has been a tremendous show. Sheila, we're going to have you back again. You know I am. And we're just not going to wait so long. And We got 10 seconds. Everybody, thanks for being here this evening. I appreciate it. Again, these shows are brought to you in coordination with Marcel Reed and the Whistleblower Summit in Washington, D.C., and we will talk to you next Thursday night. Good night, everybody.
Good night. Thank you.
You bet.
All right.